there, Green Future Growers. Thanks for joining us today. If you're new to the show, I hope you'll subscribe on iTunes or your favorite Android app, and let's get growing. So, on the flip side, what's your favorite activity to do in the garden?
Oh, yeah, my favorite thing is I won't have anything particular in mind, but I'll know that I want to be out in the garden and that there's something that needs doing out there. And the way I decide on that, and it sort of depends on the time of day, am I, you know, is it morning and I'm just walking around with a cup of tea, or is it later in the evening or whatever? I just walk around and I'm like, I'll look at something and I'll think that's what I'm going to do right now. And it might be something like, oh, I'm going to cut the sage back. I'm going to cut the sage back hard and I'm going to mulch it. Or it could be, oh, that's right, I have my coffee grounds. I got containers of various kinds of organic matter. I got my coffee grounds. I got my wood. I got my wood chips, especially with this new load that I scored on. And I got, you know, still some leaves from last fall. I'm going to go mix some mulch right now. I'm going to get the CD. I'm going to get the boom box out, and I'm going to put some music on, and I am going to mix some mulch up, girl. So it all depends, like, what strikes me. If it's a drizzly, kind of day, then I know I want to be kind of moon active so that I can stay warm. If I've done a lot of pruning of something, sometimes what I'll do is I'll put it all in a big pile, and all of our pruning, most of my prunings, because it's mostly woody stuff that I don't have space to compost that, so it goes in a big yard waste bin. Well, I don't want to spend like the prime time like stuffing this into the yard waste bin, because sometimes that can be sort of like an exercise in shoehorning more stuff into the bin than the bin really can hold. So I'll pile that stuff up, and sometimes I'm in the mood. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go shoehorn all that stuff into the yard waste bin right now. So I'm kind of a putterer and a multitasker out in the garden. It'll depend, like I said, on my mood and how much time I have. And at this time of year, it's like, it's kind of nuts, because I'll maybe get too many things going on because plants are growing like crazy now. So I'll be, you know, pruning something, mulching something else, transplanting a little seedling from here to there, realizing, you know, then I'll sometimes stand back somewhere in the garden, look at something and go, oh boy, that's not really what I expected that thing to do. And then all of a sudden I'm in the middle of some big pruning job. So it's all kind of crazy and fun. That's my favorite kind of a day, where it'd be like 2 or 3 hours has gone by and I will have thought it's been about 5 minutes. I mean, I get lost out there, Jackie. It's just an amazing feeling where you're seeing and doing all of these things, and one thing flows into another, and it just feels like perfection.
Oh my gosh. You're like my soul sister from I don't know where. I just feel so like just in sync with you. And that's kind of like, I wish my classroom could be like that. You know, there's someone to structure and schedule and routine. And part of me is just like, I don't work like that. Like I just kind of go in circles and just like, I know there's all these things that I have to do. There's 75 items on my to-do list. And it's like, whatever. Like, I always think like that with the artist in me too. Like, what's the point of like forcing yourself to sit at a blank page and be like, I'm going to write on this day. When you hear the story in your head, you're going to write it. When you see the painting in your head, you're going to paint it. And like, yeah. In the meantime, you've got this other project, work on that project or work on whatever like moves you at the moment. I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I always ask about what's your favorite tool? Like, if you had to move and could only take one tool with you, I'm going to guess it's your pruners. Am I right? Or is there something else?
Oh my God.
What could you not live without?
No, you are right. It is my pruners. I'm not really much into product placement, but I will say that a lot of people are wild about Felco pruners, and they're fine pruner. People swear by them. 1 year at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show, and this was a while ago, this was probably 15 years ago, the company Still, STIHL, they make mostly power equipment.
Like chainsaws?
Yeah, they do chainsaws and blowers and generators and stuff like that. But they also had, at that flower and garden show, they had loppers and pruners and all of these hand tools. And I picked up their pruners and they fit my hand like a glove. I could not believe it. The Felco pruners, I don't have a super small hand, but I'd say my hand is probably on the small side, as most women's, you know, hands are. Mm-hmm. And I just picked up these pruners and I'm like, oh my God, I can easily grasp them and get my whole hand around them without stretching. And they have one of these quick release mechanisms. So nice. I just pull the pruners together and then they pop open and then I can lock them up when I need to. And these pruners have never failed. The only thing I've done is I bought a new blade a while back. And they are the most fantastic pruners I've ever laid my hands on. I have a set of sharpening tools and I can just do, you know, a few swipes of my stone on those pruners and they sharpen up just really quick. And I love them. I would never leave home without my pruners if I were some kind of a professional gardener. But yeah, that's my favorite tool, those Still pruners.
All right. That's great to know. My mom, you remind me of my mom. My mom, I'm sure that's what she said. I can't remember when I interviewed her, but I can totally picture her never going anywhere without her little pruners in her backhand. And she sent my husband a pair for Christmas 1 year that he loved. That I think he's just gone through them because he kind of goes through tools like you wouldn't believe. Tools and jeans. But cool. I like that. Well, that's good to know. Listeners will probably really like that tip. How about, do you have a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden or from the farmer's market?
Oh, yeah. I made this thing for my book club about a week ago. And this is how you know that somebody, we're all chatty, okay, because we're a book club. And and it was my turn to host. And here's how you know when something hits the spot. Nobody's talking, and it's just everyone's looking each other in the eye. And this kind of, what is this? There's not much talk. There's a lot of chewing. And so this was what I call my springtime salad creation. And here's what it was. It's asparagus season, right? And what I did was I had, it was a red potato. These were the basic things. It was a layered salad of potatoes and asparagus and spring onion with this dynamite dressing on it. And what I did was there's red potatoes and a Yukon potato. And so you steam those till they're kind of al dente. And you also steam the asparagus, leave it in its whole spear form and steam that al dente. And you get a nice spring onion and you slice that really thin. And so you let the asparagus and potato cool, get them nice and cool. And then you basically create kind of a lasagna effect. So you put down, I put it down a, and the potatoes are cut so that they're circles, flat circles, pretty thin, about a quarter, no more than a quarter inch. Lay those in a bottom of a rectangular baking dish. You're not going to bake anything, but just put them in that shape of a dish. And then I have my herbs have started to pop. I keep herbs in pots and I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a green goddess style dressing. So I went out and I grabbed a bunch of fresh parsley, marjoram, and oregano, a lot, like a couple big handfuls. Put that in a glass 4-cup size glass measuring cup, poured a bunch of olive oil in there, chopped up a bunch of garlic, not diced it, just chopped it, put the chopped garlic in there, and then, as I said, olive oil, yogurt, and then I got out the immersion blender and blended all of that stuff up. So that was my dressing, and thinned it out a little bit with, I think, some milk, added some more olive oil. Yum. Salt and pepper, a little bit of chili flake, and then, so that would be like my sauce for this lasagna thing. So in goes a layer of potatoes, a little salt and pepper. Then I pour some of that green goddess dressing, then a layer of asparagus, and then the finely chopped spring onion. Oh yeah, that was the other thing. I put mustard in the dressing. That was another ingredient. So you just do these layers of potatoes, asparagus, spring onion. I happened to have some salmon around that needed to be eaten, already cooked. So I put that also as one layer in here. You could do that probably with chicken as well, or tuna or something. So it's just this layers of cooked vegetables, maybe some kind of protein if you want to do that. And the key is to get fresh herbs for your green goddess dressing, and a lot of garlic. And I'm telling you, everyone was just under hypnosis at book club when we ate that salad. So, the thing that came out of the garden that really made that salad was all of those fresh herbs. I cannot say enough about having, even if you have just little tiny window boxes or hardly any space to grow anything, I would grow herbs because they're a plant that you can enjoy outside, and they're something that you can bring inside and use for meals and dishes.
Awesome. My mom's like that. She to me, she's like this magician that goes outside and she just starts clipping away. And the next thing I know, her salad's always. And what I love about it is they always taste just a tiny bit different. But she does stuff like that. And Mike grew me this giant planter of marjoram, so I'm excited to hear something to do with that. Because even
Oh.
though I don't know, I always have it, and it's kind of a lot like oregano, the taste of marjoram, right? And then I have tons of oregano. I have like oregano going out my kazoo. So that sounds so good. Oh my goodness. I might have to try that this week. We're having a potluck at school. How about a favorite internet resource? Like, is there somewhere you find yourself surfing on the web?
Yeah, there's a garden site that I like because it's opinionated, it's informative, it's fun, and it's called Garden Rant. Have you heard of that one? Yeah, I
I
like them.
have. I tried to get them to come on the show, and they might as I get more downloads. My show has grown so much this year, which has been crazy, even considering. Because, like, just a year ago in March, I was celebrating, I think, 125,000 downloads, and I'm just about to break 300,000 downloads. And just a year later, like, I don't know, it's doing really well. It's doing really well because of amazing guests like you. Like, look at all the things you have shared with us today. Like, I'm so excited. I can't wait to post it. I have so many good episodes in the bank. I can't wait to post. I wish I could spend more time. You know, it was funny when I first started my podcast, I had just quit teaching. I took a year and a half off, and Mike and I delivered the paper at night, and it was really hard because you're driving from midnight till 6 in the morning. But it enabled me to do the podcast. And it was 7 days a week. I don't even know how I did it sometimes now. 'Cause last summer I cooked at this golf course restaurant, and it seemed like less out. And he did the paper, so we're still working 7 days a week. But I struggled to put my podcast out even last summer. That nighttime job, just like I always said, I was like, it's crazy, but I know there's a reason I have it, and it was because it enabled me to do that. And then this year, you know, I'm struggling again. But yeah, I want to say one of their names is Annie, right, from the Garden Rant. Cool. I think, well, listeners, I don't know that anybody else has mentioned that. I think I found them on Twitter too. I used to be on Twitter a lot. I'm not on Twitter as much anymore.
Yeah, I like
But
I well, Garden
yeah.
Rant, it's a group of people, so that I think is another. I like, well, it
Yeah.
goes both ways. Then you get because it's a group of people, you get a lot of different content on Garden Rant. I don't know how long ago it was that you contacted them, but check them out because they're
it was like when I first started.
Yeah, okay, you should check them out because each of these people also has their own website. And so you can always go to check out each of their individual websites and see if there's any that seem like they're up the alley of the Organic Gardener podcast, because my guess would be that at least one of them would be interested in being on the podcast, just because, you know. Yeah, that would be great. There's something else too on there. She's on Twitter and Facebook. She's out of Toronto. I met her when we were speaking at the Toronto Organic Growers Conference a couple years ago. Her name's Christina, and she does on Twitter every Friday morning something called Ground Chat, and you can find it on Twitter if you just do hashtag Ground Chat. That's all one word. And she's also on Facebook, I believe, under that. I believe also under Ground Chat. And why that is cool is that there's a tweet up basically on Friday mornings on Ground Chat, where Christina will get a guest in and pick a topic, and you get to hear all kinds of, or hear, I guess, read on Twitter all about this particular topic and interact with other people. And she's on Facebook too, because I just bumped into her on Facebook. So I like Ground Chat a lot too. And it's all about, because
I think, you know,
it's all about, so she's on to soil. It's mostly, not entirely, but, you know, ground, soil, that's what it's about.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Yeah, you know, it made me think. I think one of the reasons I was on Twitter more when I first started is because we'd be sitting there at midnight and I'd have my phone, you know, the paper, it could come out anytime between midnight and 2 a.m. So you could be sitting there some nights for an hour and a half. You just never know. So I think that's part of why I don't have that time where I'm just sitting around waiting as much anymore. Twitter was kind of a neater thing like that. Anyway, how about a favorite reading material, like a book or a magazine or a blog or website like that you really like to recommend? And you did do that one website.
Yeah.
Is there a book?
There was the one book that I mentioned earlier, and I'll just mention it again. It's just on my mind because I read it most recently. It's not like it's the be all end all, but really for tree people, it's That Hidden Life of Trees. Oh, there's that book, and there's another book that's maybe out, or if not, it's going to be out very soon. And I ran into this book and person via Twitter, and it looks to me like it's going to be terrific, because it's called The Humane Gardener. You can just Google that title, and you'll come up. I believe she's out of the Southeast somewhere, maybe North Carolina or something like that. And what I love so much about, and so looking forward to the book, is I think it was one of her tweets just cracked me up. And it was something along the lines of this: gardeners, it's time to lay down the weapons. And that just struck a chord with me, because of what people have done to the planet and to soil, and not being aware of how our behaviors and activities affect other life forms, particularly those life forms in the soil and in our gut. That really, really struck a chord with me. So although I have not read that book, just the whole message and topic really resonated with me. So it's The Humane Gardener.
Awesome. I'm definitely going to check that out. And I think listeners will like that, because this woman, Kim, I forget how to say her name, Romerell, but she's in New Zealand, Australia, one of those places. She's been my second most downloaded episode, and she talked about a cruelty-free living and, you know, like taking care of animals humanely, and kind of fits right into that same topic. And then John Moore from Australia was the first one who ever talked to me about No Dig, and I was like, huh, what are you talking about? Like, that was the first place I really heard about it. So I think, you know, Those are going to be popular. So thanks. I'll have to definitely look into that. Someone from North Carolina, maybe she'll come on too.
Oh
So
yeah.
what about your book? Like, I kept thinking we were going to get to it, but like, you haven't really told us what's your book about. What is really, the hidden half of nature about?
Yeah. So the full, yeah, it's The Hidden Half of Nature, and the subtitle is The Microbial Roots of Life and Health. And this is a book that when Dave and I started writing it, we thought it was going to be about something else. We thought we were going to be writing about the potential to store carbon in soil, and we were going to use the changes in our soil, in our garden, as sort of the vehicle for unfolding that bigger point that our soils have lost a lot of carbon, and we can sort of fill them back up, if you will, through returning organic matter to the soil. When you start writing, all kinds of other things come into your mind. You get other
Right? It's
ideas.
like your characters take off on a life of their own.
Yeah, right. So the
Same kind of
hidden,
thing.
yeah, we picked the hidden half of nature though, because we knew that we would be writing about microbiomes. And some listeners may know what a microbiome is. For those that don't, a microbiome, whether you're a plant or a person or a goldfish or a dog or a cat or a cow, is simply a community of microorganisms that are indigenous to that particular animal or plant. And that means that these microbes, that could be bacteria or virus, there's other kinds of microorganisms in and on us, fungi, these odd single-celled organisms called the archaea, there's protists. Anyway, we write a little bit about, just to ground people in the microbial world, about the different kind of microbes. And then we launch into what we are now learning by, I mean, this is the broad we. These are scientists in laboratories who are conducting these experiments about the microbiome of the botanical world of our plants. And it turns out that the microbiome of a plant is most diverse and highest in number and mostly concentrated around the roots of a plant. And in our own bodies, the very same thing is true. It's entirely different communities of microorganisms, of course, in our body, but the equivalent of a root in a plant is our digestive tract. And it's not just, when I say digestive tract, I always like to say, but it's not the whole part of the digestive tract. It's, pun intended, the bottommost part. It's our colons. These places, both our colon and the root system of a plant, are grand ecosystems unto themselves that we are just beginning to learn about. And the subtitle of the book, Microbial Roots of Life and Health, the more we know about how microbiomes interact with their host organisms, so that would be, a tree, a tomato plant, a human, a dog, a cat, and so on, it's really, really true that the microbiomes, in many ways, are the foundation of health for plants and for people. And we go into all of the evidence for that and how that works in the book. But it basically comes down to this, and that is that we've got all these microorganisms, right, in our colons and around the roots of a plant, and there are symbiotic relationships going on that are every bit as co-evolved and detailed and necessary as, say, those between pollinators and plants. And these relationships in our bodies and around a plant's roots are just critical to health. A lot of it has to do with how these microorganisms help our body assimilate and break down nutrients. And there's a whole other really cool aspect to this, and that is that microorganisms in our colon and in the soil, they're consuming things. These are live, little tiny creatures. They're consuming things. They need to eat too. And in many cases, what they're excreting, out of the their other ends, although they don't have those, but they're excreting waste products. These waste products really need a brand new name because they're not waste products at all. In our bodies, some of them have big medicinal effects. They help moderate and control inflammation. Some of these, they're called metabolites, really is what they are. Some of these metabolites can fend off pathogens and bad microbes. And in the botanical world, really, plants are relying on these microorganisms around their roots to produce all kinds of different chemical compounds that will help the plant fend off pathogens, respond to stresses in the environment. It's really, really amazing. And so that's kind of the story that we tell in The Hidden Half of Nature. And then also we took a deep dive into the human microbiome in part because I faced a major health challenge about halfway through writing that book and began to have a lot of questions about the microbiomes of people and how that relates to human health. So we intertwine these two stories, what's going on in our garden and what's going on in the human body and why we all need to know a whole lot more about microbiomes and what they do and what we can do to take care of them.
Awesome. And well, like, so I was reading like the first pages on Amazon and it seemed to me like it's not as like, I don't know, like you really did weave it into a story. Like it's not like this scientific, like, right? Am I right about that? Or like, cause I only kind of looked at the first chapter,
yeah,
but it
no,
seemed like,
right.
Like I was totally sucked right in. I was like, oh, I just could read this like right now, like just sit down. Cause
yeah.
I love like my favorite thing on Saturday afternoon is just relax with a book.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I definitely thought it was like that.
Yeah. I was speaking at the Inland, I think they're called, they were in Coeur d'Alene and I think they are called the Inland Northwest Food Network. So this is an organization that's, I think, just started in the last several years, and they're very interested in food and farming. And anyway, I was speaking with at their monthly meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I had somebody, a reader, come up to me after the talk, and I would never have thought of this. She said, "You know what your book is?" I said, "No, tell me, because we're always kind of, you know, looking for ways to talk about the book in the context that someone will go, oh yeah, I know what you mean." She said, "Your book is like a John Grisham novel for biology geeks." And so if anybody doesn't know John Grisham, that's the guy who writes all of those it's the lawyer books about some underdog lawyer, you know, takes on the big corporation, and they can be quite page turners. So I thought that was good, because what we tried to do is weave this science into a story and also blend it with history, because there's a lot that's gone on in with regard to agriculture and medicine that is based on old concepts. And one of the oldest concepts that we really, really need to overhaul is that microorganisms all the time are bad for us and that we should eradicate them. And this turns out to have, this is wrong. It has backfired on us in farming. It has backfired on us in medicine. And that's why we think the messages in our book are really important for people to understand, because I always think of microbiomes as sort of the greatest unknown conservation project out there. I mean, I'm concerned about polar bears and whales and birds and all of that stuff, but there's a part of nature, like what we call the hidden half of nature, that is just hugely important to the health of every life form on this planet. Microorganisms are involved in the grand cycles that run our planet, from the cycling of nitrogen and oxygen and carbon dioxide and So it's hard to get your arms around a microbe because they're not warm and fuzzy and they don't look pretty. But once you start dipping your toes into what it is that they do, then you start to go, oh yeah, I never knew all of these things before. And it gives you a different way of thinking about the soil, about one's diet, and just all kinds of things.
Awesome. Well, normally I ask a question about what do you think is the most crucial issue facing our planet, but I'm going to keep that for your answer because you pretty much just went right into it. And then I'm going to wind this up because we are almost at 2 hours, believe it or not. It's been so fun talking to you. Sorry to take up your Saturday, but I do kind of just end like, do you have an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden? Not that you haven't like just made us all want to get out there and play with the fairies as it is and the sprites.
Yeah, we kind of have a tagline that sums up the hidden half of nature. And
Okay.
what we really ought to all be thinking about and doing a lot more, in the garden and in the kitchen is figuring out ways that we can nurture and culture the microorganisms that we need to have in our lives because they underpin our health and our happiness and our well-being. And all these critters need to eat. And so the thing that we tell people at the end of all of our talks is this: don't forget to mulch your soil inside and out.
Oh, I like that. Don't forget to mulch our soil inside and out.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you just want to tell listeners one more time how to connect with you? It was Dig to Grow with the number
Sure.
two on Twitter, or you must be on Facebook too, then,
Yeah, so
and
our
on your website.
website's real easy. Dig the number two grow.com. You can find out more about us, our events, the books. At Twitter, we're pretty active there, and our handle is at Dig to Grow, again, the number two. And then at Facebook, the name's slightly different. It's Dig to Grow Books. And there
Okay.
you'll find out more stuff. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for talking with me this day after Arbor Day. And I'm excited to talk to your husband next week about his book that's coming out. And just have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jackie. Take care.
Hey, green future growers. Do you love to listen to audio as much as I do? Have you ever tried an audiobook? As a fan of this podcast, you must already enjoy listening to stories just like I do. Well, the Organic Gardener Podcast has teamed up with Audible to offer you a free audiobook. Just go to www.organicgardenerpodcast.com/book, or just type book into the search bar at theorganicgardenerpodcast.com, and you can get entered to get listening to your first audiobook today. If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.